Hello, and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the center.
I mean, we've got groundbreaking news here today.
Yeah, this could be.
This is exciting stuff.
We're broadcasting from the Center for the Study of North American Subtorso Augmentation here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we always joke about the wacky things that academics study, right? But here's something they're trying to study without much success, I might add. The size of American butts.
Yeah.
Now, back in the 50s, a Harvard University study concluded that 18-inch seats would comfortably accommodate the American rump. You know, you go to a sports arena, and there's an 18-inch
seat. I mean, for example, if you go to Fenway Park, they have 12-inch seats.
Yeah.
Because the study had not been done by the world's greatest university.
Exactly.
But now that it has, for the last 40 years, 18 inches has been the standard by which all butts will be measured.
But that 18-inch rule is no longer applicable.
Yeah.
Here's an article from the Washington Post about a ferry boat in Seattle. It says that 18 inches just isn't cutting it anymore. Greg Gagner, a ferry rider, says, "My butt still fits the 18-inch rule, but so many others are so huge, they're crunching us. They're crunching us, Jerry."
Yeah, because if you sit next to someone who's got a 30-inch butt,
oh,
then you're done for.
Well, or worse than that, between
people
with 30-inch butts.
Right, then you don't exist anymore. I mean, you can't exist.
I remember going to a basketball game.
I remember being on an airplane once.
A few years ago, and somebody had given me tickets. So I go there, and there's a guy sitting in his seat and my seat, too. I mean, he completely subsumed my seat.
And what
sheepishly
did you say?
I said, I think it's sitting in everybody's seat. But I think one of the problems is, you know, that people do lie when they fill out these questionnaires, you know.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't do it by questionnaire. I guess people are going to lie. How wide is your butt? Stupid.
Well, the problem is, I think, of the units.
Oh.
Inches is too... I mean, you can't ask somebody to say how many inches wide
across
their butt is. We need another unit of measurement for butt size. We have to name it after someone with a huge butt. Who do you think?
How about Daniel Pinkwater? He's not going to mind, is he? No, I mean, he's proud. He's proud. Many times he's told us how proud he is of his girth.
Really?
So he could become the standard by which all butts are measured. You're right, absolutely right, because if you say 28 inches... But if it's something that they can relate to, you know, you can picture Daniel Pinkwater in your mind and say, I'm half a Pinkwater.
Oh, so what is it? What would a Pinkwater be then?
A Pinkwater would be whatever he is. We're not going to convert it into inches for you.
Oh, no.
No, inches is the wrong unit. So it's a Pinkwater. It's number of Pinkwater. How many Pinkwaters are you?
I think I'm about 0.6.
Yeah, I'm about a third of a Pinkwater. I don't have a butt at all.
And if you want to talk to us about your car or divulge your Pinkwater measure, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Wait, does it only apply to butts? Because Dougie's head is two Pinkwaters.
Yeah, we know. That's because his head... Never mind.
It's hard to tell the difference.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jill in New Hampshire.
Hi, Jill.
Jill, just New Hampshire in general.
What about it?
Well, not a specific city.
Oh, near Portsmouth.
Near Portsmouth.
Near Portsmouth.
Right down the southern...
Okay. Yeah. That's close enough. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a 1985 Pontiac 6000. Which was given to me by my grandfather, and I have to hold on to it for a few years because I'm in graduate school. And
okay.
I won't be able to buy another car maybe ever. Yeah.
But I mean, you have to always question it when you're driving a car that was bought by a grandfather.
I know.
So, I mean, I understand how you feel.
Well, he gave it to me. He's a generous man. You know?
Yeah, that's very nice.
The problem is that depending on how I hit the gas...
Ah.
It will stall or it will go.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know how to hit the gas.
Oh, you don't know what you're doing. It's right or wrong.
Exactly. I just know that if I do it the right way, it'll go. So if I get out of the driveway without having to, you know, turn the car back on, I'll hit the gas and start driving, and it sort of bogs down. It gets real sort of slow, and it creeps along until it sort of kicks in, and then I can drive it. And that might happen for the first few minutes until the car gets, I guess, really warmed up.
And then it's okay.
And then it's all right. Yeah.
Okay.
Then it's all right. I mean, at least it goes.
Yeah, it goes.
And when it stalls, does it start right back up or is it difficult to restart?
Generally, it starts right back up.
Oh. And then you're able to put it in gear and take off and it's okay?
Well, it'll creep along a little bit and...
Until it warms up.
Until it warms up and then it... But I mean, I guess my question is, do I have to let it warm up for 3 hours before I can drive it or...
An hour
well,
and a half.
I mean, have you ever tried not warming it up? What happens in those situations?
Oh, it just stalls. It just
stalls repeatedly.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
85. This must have a carburetor.
Oh.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. I mean...
It's got to. I mean, you couldn't get a fuel-injected car to do what she's describing.
Well, I wouldn't have an answer if it were a fuel-injected car.
No,
we'd have to,
neither would I.
We'd have to feign that you got disconnected from us. Oh, we lost Jill. Too bad. Next caller.
Yeah. No, this is a... Classic. I mean, my car does this.
Yeah.
They all do this,
yeah,
don't
I mean,
they?
Well, this is a classic case of either a very weak or non-existent accelerator pump.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or a misadjusted choke. Or a non-existent choke. Choke pull-off.
Misadjusted or malfunctioning choke pull-off or improper ignition timing. So did you write all those down?
Or... All of the above.
All right. Or some combination of all of them.
Yeah, I'm writing them down. I just brought it into the shop.
Yeah.
And it hadn't had a tune-up probably in about 5 years, so it had a tune-up. But it's still doing this sort of bogging down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a tune-up would not have necessarily fixed most of the things that my brother just...
And the reason it wouldn't is they didn't have the benefit of having the engine ice cold. If you had left it there overnight and said to them, look... Leave this in the shop overnight. I'll pick it up tomorrow morning.
Uh-huh.
And they had started this thing up and tried to drive it out. They would have called you right up and said, don't come for the car.
Don't.
There's something else wrong with it. But you drove it in. The engine was warm. They tuned it up. They adjusted everything. The engine was still warm. They test drove it. It ran all right like it does for you when it's warm.
Right.
And you picked it up when it was warm, and it ran all right when you drove it home.
Right.
But the next morning, ta-da!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to leave it overnight with them and tell them to look at all those things we mentioned.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
It'll never run again. I'm sorry. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye. No, that'll fix it. Don't worry.
Oh, it will, absolutely. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Greg. I live down in Kennesaw, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta.
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yes, home of the General from that great train chase.
Yeah, from Kennesaw Mountain.
Yeah, we have that battlefield right over next to us, too.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
What I have, guys, is I have a 92 Ford Probe, four-cylinder, with 164,000 miles on it. And when I start this car in the morning, it'll blow some white smoke, and it'll do it when I'm at high RPMs. But that is about the only time it does it.
White smoke, huh?
Yes, white smoke.
High RPM. Stick shift?
Yes.
I would have to say it's probably blue smoke.
Mm.
Looks more like white. It's leaving deposits on the back of my car, too.
Oily deposits?
No, it's just like a white crust.
Like a white crust.
Really? This is very interesting, Greg.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. How long has it been happening?
A couple years now, actually. We've just named it the smoke bomb, and I just put oil in it a lot.
You do put oil in it?
Yeah. Yes, I sure do.
No other fluids are getting low.
No, none of the other fluids get low.
I have to go back to my original contention.
Yeah, and I think he's got to be right.
It really has a blue tinge that you're not seeing.
Uh-huh.
And especially considering that you told us that you're losing oil.
Uh-huh.
That's a big help.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm losing. I put about a quart in a week now.
And how many miles is that?
It's a good 300 miles off it, 350, somewhere in there.
I would just keep adding the oil. I mean, I don't think I'd suggest you fix it.
What you need is a ring job, and you're not going to do that.
Expensive thing?
Very expensive.
Yeah, you are a prime candidate for
The pellets.
For one of the many additives that are on the market. I mean, there are lots of things that you can add to your crankcase.
Uh-huh.
Go down to your local car parts store.
Uh-huh.
And walk up and down the aisles until you find a container that has the word miracle on it. It'll be either miracle pellets, miracle juice, miracle whip, one of those things. And then it'll say in big letters underneath it, stops oil burning fast.
There you go.
I just... Seriously, for a minute. No, never mind.
No,
There is one product, use the Castrol Cure.
Well, there is one product that we've had pretty good luck with.
Okay.
Oh.
And the stuff is called Restore.
Oh, that's right.
Restore.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the stuff that we've had the best luck with.
And the other thing you might want to do is put Castrol 2050 motor oil in it.
All righty. And what will that do?
That will maybe reduce the oil burning.
Okay, very good.
I just put it in my MG this morning.
Yeah. I put Castrol 1030 in it right now.
Try 2050.
Oh, go thick, man. Think thick.
Very good. See, you know, I spent a lot of time up in your guys' neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah?
Up in your fair city of Cambridge.
No kidding.
My girlfriend just graduated from that great Boston University right down the road from you guys.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
What did your girlfriend major in, Greg?
Geology.
No kidding.
Yeah.
She got a job?
She's going to find oil fields.
So she's going to work for Exxon or some such thing, right?
Actually, she's going to do the easy route and go to New Zealand for graduate school.
Oh, excellent.
And you should go with her.
Yeah, I would like to, but I doubt it.
She's going to dump you, huh?
Yeah, probably so. You know, that's just how it works.
Yeah, that happens. I know.
Well, at least you got the probe to console you.
There you go.
Thanks for calling,
see
Greg.
Greg.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, poor guy. His car burns oil and he's getting dumped. But he's got a good outlook.
He does.
Yeah, and he's not going to New Zealand either. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Bob and Ray.
Yes.
Hey, who's this?
It's Daniel Pinkwater.
Oh, jeez.
I wish to weigh in on the buttock controversy.
Hey, Daniel, how have you been?
Well, just fine. I mean,
how unfortunate that you should call.
Who put you up to this? It just happened.
I was suddenly impelled to dial in because, you know, I attended one of those fancy driving schools.
Oh. And
my instructor, Sterling Moskowitz, told me that the buttocks are one of the triad of vital elements in fancy driving.
Oh,
really?
The hands being one.
The elbow, which you rest on the window, is one. Another one.
Right.
And the spinner knob that you attach to the steering wheel. He told me many drivers are able to operate their car entirely with their buttocks. So you see how important.
Sure. I can almost understand what you said.
Yes, I think I've grasped the essence of it.
Well, I think it's wonderful of you to have given your name, so to speak, to such a worthy cause.
It's an important issue. As I understand it, the Pinkwater is the maximal slant optimal seat measurement.
Well,
it is the dimension for a person of virtue.
Huh.
I take myself to be.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you think there is a direct correlation between buttocks measurement
and
virtue?
Virtue. It's well known, and it's even biblical. I won't get into turning the other cheek.
It's well known by whom?
Rabbinical scholars, of course.
I'm silly of me.
Yes,
I know.
But you know, many cars have seats that are no wider than the seat of my exercise bike, and this is an insult.
Insult is not the word. Now, it's a pain in the butt. Let's face it.
Indeed. If you have a suitable and capacious seat, and you are yourself rump challenged or deficient, you can always make use of that extra space to tuck in stuff around you, like your dog or a mortadella,
or a salami sandwich or two.
Spring water. You know?
That's true. You're absolutely right. It will not go to waste.
Now, I've observed, and I've mentioned before on your very program, German cars tend to have broad seats.
Yes.
Now, I think this
that conversation that we had was the very impetus for making us believe that the Pinkwater should be the national standard.
You honor me.
International. And in fact, you may have to go to Paris.
Or Berlin.
To get measured.
To get measured, because that's where all the international standards are.
Now, we hate to ask an indelicate question, but we have devised this butt measurement standard as the Pinkwater. But
there may be some people who really don't know what you look like.
So we don't
actually, I look a little bit like Marlon Brando, always have.
Really?
Yes.
But if someone were to ask us,
yes,
what is the conversion factor between a pink water and
a yard?
And meters. We'll stick with the...
actually, I think that I'd prefer that this be used not as a measurement in terms of length or width, but as an ideal or philosophical concept.
I see.
So it's like a meter and a half, then.
I would say, yeah. that would suit me fine.
All right.
All right, Daniel.
Thank you, gentlemen.
As always, a pleasure.
Always, indeed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, he is nuts.
He can take a joke. Okay, look, it's time to take a short break.
This is where we allow our stations to identify themselves.
No, this is where we allow our stations to check the programming menu again and see if there's anything better they could put on in this slot. We'll be back in a minute, we hope.
Met a cowboy, he's pretty wonderful, 6'7". I'm in heaven, been together about 6 months. There's only one thing I change. He's got an old green pickup truck. I'm always afraid we're gonna get stuck. Every time we go cruising around, we call him Gumby. He's an old 79 green Chevy custom deluxe pickup truck. 3-speed on the column that's falling apart. Half the time he don't want to start. Hole in the muffler, carburetor's clogged. Time he needs adjusting, he's a great big old gas hog. But most of the time he gets us round where we need to go.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and contact sports.
This is very quick. Came on email, Dennis Gittinger from somewhere. Football commentator and former player Joe Theismann. Do you ever hear of him?
Yes, he was a quarterback for the Washington Redskins, I believe.
Okay, here's his quote. Nobody in football should be called a genius. A genius would be a guy like Norman Einstein. And Joe clearly ain't that. I've seen Norman Einstein, Joe, and you ain't no Norman Einstein.
Must be a typo.
I'm a Pat Summerall. Here's his. A long time ago, football commentator and former player Pat Summerall was lamenting the new rules designed to protect the quarterback. He summarized his feelings thusly. If you take the violence out of football, the stands will be filled with no-shows. Seated in the stands will be people who didn't show up.
Pretty good. He must have yeah. collaborated with Yogi Berra on that one.
Yeah. It's good. Like, it's good.
Nobody goes to Coney Island anymore. It's too crowded.
Too crowded.
If you want to call us about your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys.
Hi, who's this?
John from Gloversville, New York.
Hi, John. Gloversville.
Gloversville. Isn't that the place? Isn't Gloversville, New York, isn't that the place where the aliens landed?
I thought that was Rockwell somewhere in the
Southwest. No.
Roswell, New Mexico?
No. And
Gloversville, New York? What aliens?
The Mars invasion, Orson Welles.
Oh, War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds, yeah. Wasn't it Gloversville, New York?
Well, I tell you, I wasn't here then.
Oh, that would explain
it. Oh, you weren't. No wonder you forgot about it. Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, so what's up, John?
So I've got this 1990 VW Golf. Bought it from my sister a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Got 135,000 on it.
Yeah.
And it pulls slightly to the right whenever I'm going uphill, and it pulls slightly to the left whenever I'm going downhill or on the level.
Yeah.
That's about it. It runs fine.
It's always been doing that, right?
It's been doing it as long as I've had it.
Pulls to the
and
right.
And it'll pull more if you step on the gas. Yeah, so I would bet it pulls more going uphill than it does pulling going downhill.
Actually, it's, you know, it's pretty much the same.
Then I don't know what it is.
Pulls to right going up.
Yep. Pulls to the left going down or on the level.
So it pulls to the left otherwise.
Right.
And it will do this whether you're accelerating, decelerating, holding the steering wheel, not holding the steering wheel.
That's correct.
Wearing
although
a
I
red...
don't want to not hold the steering
well,
wheel.
Well, going up the hill...
It's torque steer. It is. Coming down the hill, we're not going to have any money coming down the hill.
Jeez.
John, this is interesting. I like these problems.
Obviously, you've had someone look at this thing.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, he has.
Have
and
you?
You've had the obvious things checked, like the tire pressure, the alignment, stuck
yeah.
brakes, et
yeah.
cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
And none of those things have yielded
no,
anything.
No, I've got new tires on it. Hasn't changed a thing. It's aligned. And
it's been,
recently redone.
It's been doing this ever since you got it from your sister, that weird sister of yours?
Now, let's not get too far into my sister. But yeah, it's been doing that pretty much ever since I got it.
We have a weird sister doesn't mean that everyone does.
No?
No, I've got a great sister. She took very good care of it.
Does your sister, like, bury things in the backyard?
Well, they've got a garden that...
No, I don't mean plants. I mean like bottles of solutions.
I've never known her to do that.
No matter what ailment you have, our sister has something buried in
she
the
said,
underground.
But she says, I'll get back to you in 17 days.
Right.
And you say, 17 days? And she says, well, it's got to be buried in the ground for 17 days.
And we hope you survive that long.
And by the time she comes back with the stuff... You're all better. She says it works every time.
There's the definition of a homeopathic remedy for you. Right?
Yeah, but she does bring us things that have been buried in her backyard for 17 days.
Is this the reason she got rid of the car?
No.
She didn't even notice it.
When was the accident? Did it have
no
an accident?
No accident. Nope.
Gee, I'm trying to think of something that would change with direction. In other words,
right.
A bad motor mount, for example, or transmission mount. Would be changed by going uphill and then would change, do something to the engine transmission when you were going downhill.
Hmm.
How that would translate into pulling.
See, I'm working on.
Haven't been able to fabricate.
Here's what I'm
that
working
yet.
On. Here's Go what ahead. I'm working on. The differential.
Are you really?
I am feverishly attempting.
I'd abandon that at once.
No, I like it. I like the differential.
Geez, John, you know, you may have noticed that we've been on vacation. And ordinarily, when we come back from vacation, we are renewed and we are reinvigorated and our minds have been swept clean and, you know, we
we've forgotten everything we ever knew about cars.
Yeah.
What little it
exactly.
was.
Yeah. You know, I have a suspicion that it's something to do with the back end and not the front.
Huh.
Like an emergency brake is dragging when you go under. No.
No. Oh.
You never know.
You mean like a cracked frame.
Like, there you go.
Ah.
Ooh.
Did your sister ever have an accident
no,
with the car?
No, he said she never had an accident.
She didn't tell him about it.
No, that she's right.
I mean, does your sister tell you all the accidents she has? She's got a brand new car. One day she says... It's funny, you know those extra driving lights that I have in the front? I said, yeah. She said, you know those extra driving lights that I had in the front?
They're now dragging on the pavement.
They're dragging on the ground. And I said to her, well, how did that happen? What did you hit? Hit?
I didn't know. They just fell out. What
they
a cheap,
just fell
out. She has a Subaru. She says, what a cheap piece of junk this is. The lights just fell out. And we said, no, we don't think
no,
so.
I don't think so. So... Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm telling you,
work on the differential.
I'm working on it. But, John, for the time being, we are stymied. But that doesn't mean that we won't come up with an answer later on in the show, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
See you later.
Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good
Bye.
Luck. I mean, it's lucky.
Pulls to the right going... Doesn't... 188.
It has to do with torque. It's got to have to do with torque and the differential.
Well, I was leaning...
Because the torque... When
I was leaning
there,
toward a bad axle, but...
See, axles,
yeah,
torque.
90 golf is the right age, too, but I couldn't make it fit, and it would have been too convoluted and unbelievable what I had to put forth, so I decided to abandon it.
Why was this any different
from
most of your theories?
I wasn't up for it. Maybe in a few weeks.
All right.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathleen from Atlanta.
Hi, Kathleen. Boy, you sound chipper.
Oh, boy. I guess I am.
Yeah.
Yes, you sound so happy.
I'm hoping you can resolve this problem.
We shall. We
okay.
shall.
Kathleen would do anything for you. With a voice like that. Isn't it interesting that a voice can be so powerful?
Exactly.
I mean, Kathleen has a friendly, happy...
Engaging.
And I mean, we would do anything for her.
Right.
Oh,
she
right.
might be the worst person in the world, but she doesn't sound it.
No,
okay.
No,
she doesn't
not.
Sound it.
Well, we'll
and she may, in the next few minutes, prove herself to be nothing like what her voice is.
Oh, I hope not.
So if we're disappointed, if we sound disappointed at the end of this call...
Don't take it personally.
Take it personally, because...
take it
So, all right, what's the problem, Kathleen?
Okay, I have 100,000 miles on my Buick Century. And although it's seen me through a lot of hard times, it's time for this car to go.
Mm-hmm.
My family, mother and brother predominantly, are convinced that in order to survive on the mean streets of Atlanta, I must drive a sports utility vehicle mm-hmm. like everybody else in this town.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is an ethical,
a thorny
moral
issue.
I mean, there's no end.
Economic, I mean, it covers all the bases.
It covers everything.
Well, do you think...
Well, I mean, it's one of those, do I go with the flow here, so to speak, and try to put myself in a position of power at the expense of many, many other people, even though I know that I present a danger to them only because I am so selfish that I want to prevent any injury to myself?
See, though, I don't want one. I want to drive a car. Unfortunately, the car I've decided I really want to drive is a VW Passat.
Which is a very nice car.
Boy, well, I would say that a VW Passat is certainly a good compromise.
A good compromise?
Yeah.
What because, if a compromise?
Well, it's a compromise because it's a small car, but it's not that small. And it's not that light. I think a Passat weighs 3,000 pounds.
Okay.
Well, it is a lot smaller than your Buick Century.
It's a lot smaller than the Buick Century, and it's a lot bigger than a lot of cars on the road.
And those Toyota Land Cruisers are going to squash you like a mud chigger.
Now, this is not what I want to hear.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the ethical issue. Because
right.
either you're going to join those crazies who are driving those SUVs, and I have to say that I don't agree with the SUV philosophy. But if you don't join them, it's sort of like the guys on the freeway. They're driving 70 miles an hour, even though the sign says 55. And if you try to go 55, you're going to get killed. So the question is, what do you do? Do you break the law and do 70 miles an hour like they're doing? Or do you try to make some kind of a statement that, hey, guys, you shouldn't be doing that? So you got to decide, are you some kind of a moral preacher? Or are you going to just say, I don't care what happens. I'm going to do what I have to do.
Yeah, and most people
to
succumb
survive.
To mob rule.
Yeah.
Because the crowd says if you don't drive one of these, even though it's against your better judgment, you're putting yourself at great risk.
Especially if your mother and your brother are telling you the same thing. What do they drive?
A Jeep and a Ford Explorer.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You're done for.
Well,
and if you buy this Passat, and you get killed, you'll never hear the end of it. And for that matter, you'll never even hear the beginning of it.
You hope you won't hear the beginning of it.
Absolutely.
You certainly won't hear the end of it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I would... This tells everything. This says everything about you.
I don't want to be another one of those people
well,
in
then
a
don't.
Lot more cars.
Then don't.
Than
start
I
the
need.
Trend. You start the trend to going back to reasonably sized cars. I think it's nutso that everyone's driving these towering behemoths.
Yeah.
That they, in many cases, don't know how to drive and can't handle correctly, and they are endangering other people.
So if I'm going to make a big moral statement with my next purchase
Yes, make your moral statement. Buy the Passat.
So now you're on my side and you save me money, too.
I'm on your side, and I haven't changed my mind since I first heard your voice.
I'm still still a good person then.
You're better than good. You're
great.
Wonderful.
You're great.
I'm so relieved.
See you.
And tell your mother
so
and your blood and your brother, flake off.
I'll let you tell them.
There comes a time when you have to say that.
Absolutely.
Flake
well, I
off.
Appreciate the backup. Thank you.
Bye bye, Kathleen. They'll never talk to her. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Sanjay.
Sanjay?
And I'm calling from Somerville.
Somerville, Mass.
Yeah, from right next to you guys.
Next to our fair city.
That's right. And
Somerville is a
I'm
great city.
Somerville. I'm moving to Oakland, California, but that's another story.
You are?
And yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Because, I don't know, because nothing's going on in the rest of the country, because I want to leave New England where all the culture is. But I have a problem that relates intimately to my living in Somerville.
Yeah.
Which is that I live on one of these, you know, twisty little Somerville roads, goes up a steep hill.
Yeah.
And it's real narrow, and I drive a Honda Prelude, and it's a beautiful car, and it has these big, beautiful driver's side mirrors on it.
Had.
Well, that's the problem. You know, every couple of months, someone whacks off my driver's side mirror, and I have gone through four of them. Now, you know, every now and then I remember to fold in the mirror. Usually I fold in the mirror.
Yeah.
Ah, I see it now.
So what I want something I can put on the mirror.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Will take out the other guy's car.
Right.
But the thing
like
is...
Like surface-to-air missiles?
Like a claw or something.
Oh.
The problem is...
Yeah.
There's a lot of bicyclists on my road.
Yeah.
Right.
You take out somebody's spleen.
Right. That's exactly it. I want it to be non-lethal.
Well, is it possible for you to get the same parking space every day?
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
By not leaving, you can have the same parking space.
Here's what you do.
Day.
You bury in the ground a 15 foot deep, 6 inches in diameter post.
Yeah.
And you somehow have to paint the part of it that goes from the ground to the mirror so that it's invisible.
There's a sick side to you.
So when someone hits it, it's going to be so strong that it's going to stop that pickup truck right there. Boom. The guy's going to wipe out your mirror, he thinks, and instead his car is going to come to such a screeching halt that he is going to end up in Porter Square.
Well, let me just a couple of observations.
Yeah.
Number one, you can fold your mirror in, probably.
Yeah, I've been doing it, but if you go in the house for 5 minutes, you don't want to do it because you have to come back out and realign it.
But I know, but what does it take?
Well, you don't have to realign it because it's already aligned.
I mean, most of these mirrors fold in, so when you go to the car wash, the brushes don't lop them off. However, if you do that, you run the risk. Don't forget, the mirror is like the early warning system.
I'm also thinking the mirror is saving my car.
Exactly. If they can't hit the mirror is like a curb feeler. Your cars years ago used to have those little things that stuck out, and you'd know when you were going to chew up your tires.
That's exactly
but the mirrors used to cost $1.50.
Well, that's an alternative. You can replace that mirror with $1.50 mirror.
You could. Yeah.
Especially on the driver's side. You don't need that electronic whoozy-whatsy. Just open the window and adjust the stupid thing.
Well, I mean, on the...
Put a nice chrome mirror there from like a 63 Dart.
No, that should be real good for the appearance of the car.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, obviously the reason that this is happening is people are either not seeing the mirror or they're misjudging the distance from their vehicle to your vehicle.
Well, they're stupid.
That too.
All right.
So what you might want to do is... help them to do that judging by adding something. How about if you had like a cardboard box that you fashioned so that it fit over the mirror and it stuck out an extra foot beyond the mirror?
And people go after that with a baseball bat.
Well, people would go after that, but if they hit it, nothing would break except the cardboard box.
Oh, I see.
Maybe if I line it with concrete or something.
Yeah, it's sort of like a decoy.
Yes. You have a mean streak in you too, Sanjay. And you're lucky that you're moving to Oakland, where they have wide boulevards and no snow.
Yeah.
You'll
really?
No longer... This has got to be the reason you're leaving Somerville.
Yeah, it's part of it. The mirrors is probably...
I think it's the only reason.
The mirrors drove him out of town.
Yeah.
But,
I think the cardboard box idea is the best one. Give them a decoy to aim at.
Good luck.
Good luck in Oakland.
Thanks.
See ya.
See ya. Bye. We helped him. Okay.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll tell you what to do if you find yourself in desperate need of a puzzler this summer.
Yeah, go seek psychiatric help right away.
Well, after that. We'll be back in a minute.
Oh, great mountain, you won't be moving anytime soon. Over the blue, shimmering water, it's the same moon. Down on the eastern shore, so like home you feel you've been before. never left wanting more. So lovely and familiar. I love it that way. Constancy I crave. My heart's on the old highway. Oh, my heart's on the old highway.
And even though public radio listeners swear they would rather listen to an emergency broadcast system test whenever they hear us saying, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used Puzzler. Now, as both of our listeners know, every summer the Puzzler goes where?
A vacanza.
A vacanza, as they say in Italia. Yes. But we know from your calls and letters that this is a very difficult time.
Withdrawal.
For both of you.
It's withdrawal.
Some folks just can't seem to go a week without a Car Talk Puzzle. So for you, we have what?
Electroshock therapy? Padded room?
No. For you, we have our classic Puzzler archive. Ooh. Every week that the Puzzler is on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk Puzzler on our website, cartalk.com.
Cool.
And every week you'll find a new, used Puzzler there. Pretty nifty, eh?
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
And of course, we always welcome your Puzzler suggestions.
More than welcome. Desperate.
Desperate. Yeah, we beg. We plead. We're counting on. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you have something, send it to us. You can either email it to us via the website, or you can mail us your suggestion at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. And if you want to call us, the number is 888-227-8255, which is also 888-CAR-TALK.
Isn't that, what are the chances
of that? What are the chances of that? Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Shannon in Greenville, South Carolina.
Hi, Shannon.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Furman University?
Furman?
Yeah, Furman University.
No, I haven't.
Well, that's where I'm calling you from. You guys need to come visit.
No kidding.
And what's the town it's in?
It's in Greenville, in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Man, it sounds great. It sounds just exactly like a campus ought to sound. But, I mean, the temperature is probably just right. Always.
Yeah, just about 75 right now.
That's great.
And you are from South Carolina originally, so you went to college in your home state.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
So why are you calling us?
Well, the problem is that I smell like my car, and it's causing a problem at work.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's a 69 Volkswagen convertible bug.
Oh.
And since the weather's always nice here, I can put the top down a lot. But when it's cold and I turn on the heater and drive to work, by the time I get to work, I stink.
You stink of exhaust?
You stink of exhaust, yeah.
And a little hint of gasoline.
Oh, that's always a nice touch.
We call it eau de VW.
Eau de VW.
Well, unfortunately, because this is an air-cooled engine.
Yeah.
They relied on the exhaust, the heat from the exhaust system to heat up, you know, the passenger compartment.
Right.
And there were two heat exchangers attached to the engine.
In real cars, the way you get the heat is the heat from the engine heats up water.
You didn't say real cars.
No.
I didn't mean that. No.
I didn't mean real cars. No.
Real big cars.
I mean, in a lot of cars. In a few cars. The heat of the engine heats up water, and the water, in turn, goes to like a little radiator, like a little... You wouldn't know about central heating down there in South Carolina, but up north, we have central heating, and it mostly has to do with water going through radiators, and that's how it works in some cars. Not
there's
all.
There's no water in this car.
Yeah, but there is no water, so they use the hot exhaust gas
that passes through an aluminum heat exchanger, and then cold air is pushed through this heat exchanger. The heat gets exchanged from the hot aluminum through which the exhaust is passing into this cold air, and some of it, very little, I'm sure you're aware,
makes its way to the passenger compartment. About 1%.
But what happens after like 29 years, 29 and a half years, is that the heat exchangers rot out and exhaust actually gets into the passenger compartment.
So is there any way to control it?
Well, see, it's no longer a heat exchanger in the usual sense.
It's an exhaust exchanger.
What's happening is the exhaust gas, which is supposed to stay on one side of this heat exchanger, now gets on the wrong side, which is the side that's going to you, mm-hmm. in the passenger compartment. And that's why you smell bad, because you are being covered with exhaust gas, which, by the way, isn't all that good for your lungs either.
Yeah, or your brain cells, as my brother can attest. Well, he can't attest anymore. He can't do much of anything anymore.
So if I'm driving around small children in this car,
Do that.
Damaging their health.
You're endangering everyone's health, including your own.
See, I need to fix this because I want to drive it a lot.
Well, you need to buy 2 new heater boxes.
Okay.
Oh, don't say okay.
No.
Oh,
they're expensive. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you might as well do it. And while you're at it, have them throw a new muffler on there, because they're connected to the muffler, and that's probably ready to fall off anyway.
So you figure Midas will have these?
They might have them in stock.
Oh, no. I have a really good mechanic here. I wouldn't dare go. Well, I'm going to Nick, not Midas.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody has them.
Okay.
If you can't find new heater boxes, just have Nick disconnect everything.
Now, the other part of this, is there a chance I have a gas leak if I'm smelling
gasoline? A chance?
Yeah.
It's almost a certainty. Yeah. It's very likely that your fuel pump is leaking, or the gas line is leaking, or who knows.
So I could just ignite one day, spontaneous combustion.
Yeah. Also, it's little known fact. I think I know the gas line that runs from the tank, which is in the front, to the engine in the back, runs inside the car.
Mm.
So that could be a gas leak that you have, and maybe completely separate from this.
And don't smoke.
I'm not smoking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way.
See you, Shannon.
Hey, good luck.
Thanks a lot, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Furman University. I want to go there.
Oh, God. Can they take them right away? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
This is Dave. I'm calling you from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've got a 1995 Ford Windstar. I should also mention it's dark green, which I think is relevant.
That is relevant, I'm sure.
The problem is with the door chime.
Yeah.
When the weather is very hot and the car has been out in the sun, and I get into the car and close all the doors, it still thinks the door is open.
Yeah.
And it dings at me as I'm driving along. It stops dinging when I drive fast, and then when I stop at a stoplight, it dings more. This seems to happen mostly when the car is hot, that is, when the body is hot.
Sure, I believe it.
Why?
Well, clearly none of the doors is open.
Right.
We know that. You've gotten out many times, I'm sure, and established that.
Many, many times, yeah.
But have you ever pushed on the doors to a greater extent than they would be closed themselves to see if you can turn the chime off? Because I suspect what's wrong with it is one of the little door pillar switches is being affected by the temperature.
Uh-huh.
And as such, won't close the circuit and turn off the signal to that thing that goes ding, ding, ding and drives you nuts.
And the way you figure out which one it is you start up the engine and you leave the windows open so you can tell what's going on inside.
And you don't lock your keys inside.
Try not to lock your keys in it. And just lean on every door, including the hatch.
It's bad enough to lock your keys in the car. But it's a double insult to do it with the engine running. I mean, that really frosts your shorts. A friend of mine went to a Boston Celtics game one night and came out, and his car was still running. He'd locked the keys.
It was all warmed up.
Oh, beautiful.
So what was the question? Oh, the door. Yeah, so you lean on each door separately, including the hatch in the back, until the bing-bing goes away.
Okay.
The most suspect door would be the slider.
So how do I drive then when I'm pushing on the door?
You ain't drive.
You don't have to drive.
Yeah.
You sit there in your driveway.
Okay, but I'm assuming it's only going to go off as long as I'm leaning on the door.
Yeah, it is, but it's going to tell you which door it is, and then you're going to replace
the switch. Yeah, then you're
going
to go to a body shop, and you tell them to fix it. Either they have to adjust the door, or they have to do something replace. Like
if you're really lucky, you might just find that switch is loose, and you'll
doubt it.
You'll take out a pair of pliers, and you'll tighten it up, if luck is with you, and everything will be fixed.
So maybe I could do this myself.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but at least you'll be able to go in and say, it's this door that's causing the problem, and then they'll do it in no time.
Great.
Good luck, Dave.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Matthew. I'm 14 years old, and I'm from Savannah, Georgia.
Hi, Matthew. Savannah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know much about Savannah, but I have always
It's always been an attraction
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I guess, because of the architecture of the buildings.
Right, that antebellum architecture.
The antebellum, yeah. I love that antebellum stuff.
Yeah. Uncle Bellum did a pretty good job, too, but Auntie did most of the heavy-duty work.
And it's mostly warm, right, in Savannah?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and in the winter, we have our few brutal cold days, but, yeah, it's mostly warm year-round.
And I have one other question. Are there two N's in Savannah?
Yes, there are.
Okay, I thought so.
All right, Matt, we've badgered you enough. What's on your mind?
Okay, like I said, I'm 14, and I've got the wonderful job of cleaning my parents' car. I'm washing, I mean, the outside of it.
What did you do wrong?
Well, I don't know. That's what I need to
do. What do you mean, what did he do wrong? They give him a roof over his head. They give him 3 squares a day, if not 6. I mean, they give him, put the clothes on his back. And they say, Matt, how about you, like, wash the car, like, once a month? And we'll give you this $10,000 worth of food every day.
Well, it's amazing how selective one's memory could be.
Yeah.
And I recently asked my parents how forthcoming I was regarding chores when I was a teenager. Because my kids, what's the word? Never did squat. Have never done squat.
Yeah, in any event.
Well, when I asked Mom and Dad about this, they said that I didn't do squat either. But I don't remember that.
All right, so they ask you to wash the car once
right.
in a while.
They have a 96 Plymouth Grand Voyager.
Yeah.
When I wash it, round water marks are left on the windows. The windows are the worst.
Yeah.
Especially the side view mirrors.
Yeah.
I cannot wash those little water marks
Matt.
Off.
Maybe there's some problem with the definition of the word wash.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what my parents thought. But, I mean, they've got out there and helped me. And it No, I mean, I'm washing, scrubbing.
So, I mean, do you use soap?
Yes, I use car soap.
Okay,
I
mean, so you don't just hose it down?
No.
He's using the genuine.
Do you own the following? A chamois?
Yes.
Bless your heart.
Do you own a chihuahua, though? That's the real question.
What's a chihuahua?
I don't know, but I see it advertised on television. It's a chamois on a stick.
A chamois's good. And do you own a squeegee?
Well, yes, I do own one, but I've never used it.
Yeah, well, you got to use that. That will get rid of all the droplets on the windows. Trouble is, it's not small enough to get onto the rearview mirrors.
Right. So you're telling me all this scrubbing in the windows is not going to help, but the squeegee will do it for me?
Oh, yeah. The squeegee is the answer. Squeegees are great.
All right, but what about the side view mirrors?
The side view mirrors, I would use a piece of newspaper.
Cover them up?
And Windex.
Okay.
I mean, are they on your case about this, Matt? Or is it, you know, you're doing your level best.
No, it's becoming a personal frustration.
Yeah,
I think,
okay.
I sit out there and I wash the car and it looks awful. I mean, it's not that bright, shiny that everybody else is on my street is.
So they haven't actually complained about this?
No, I mean, they know that I'm working and
they
want to know the answer, too.
All right, let me let you in on a little man secret here, Matt.
Okay.
You're only a 14-year-old kid and you need a little advice from
A little manly advice.
Manly advice. When you get older, you'll probably meet some wonderful woman, and you'll probably fall in love, and you'll be married to her.
Right.
And she, too, will ask you to do things like wash the car, wash the windows, do something around the house, fix things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn right now that you have to screw up everything. Because if you do it right, she's going to ask you to do it again.
Or worse than that, ask you to do more stuff.
Or more things.
Figure
However,
that you're competent. You have to demonstrate incompetence.
Incompetence.
Right from the
get-go.
Marital
you
be smart about
incompetence.
It.
And you and little by little, they will come to understand that you cannot really do anything right. Ask you to wipe the dishes, you drop 1 out of 3. They break on the floor. She says, I'm never going to ask you to help me do the dishes again.
Hey, smart.
Huh? Laundry.
Yeah, mix all the colors
together. All the colors together and throw in 2 cups of bleach.
Right.
And make sure you do this every single time and you will never go near a washing machine
And be
again.
Very apologetic and show a willingness to learn.
Yeah.
But,
oh, hon,
but an inability
I'm so
to learn,
sorry.
Nonetheless.
Yeah. So
that's
this,
the best advice we can give you, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the road here. I forget the advice about the squeegee. I never said that. Just continue doing what you're doing and get as many of these little droplets to dry up on there. And I would try, do you have a wire brush?
No.
You know, well, buy one. Go down to the hardware store.
Okay.
You can buy a wire brush with a nice long handle on it. Mm-hmm. And for those pesky spots on the fender...
Wire brusher. Or you can use Brillo.
And you won't... Brillo's good, too. And you won't have to be doing this job much longer.
Yeah, I mean, on a serious note, you might try adding a few drops of dishwashing liquid.
Yes.
Okay.
Like ivory liquid or one of those things,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Because that makes things sheet.
Exactly.
Right.
And it might eliminate the spots.
Okay.
There you go. Good luck, Matthew.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hope they let you out of your room after all this.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Crotch Chafe of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parotti. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Eiffel Tower, sweet and sour, whole wheat flour, kraut that's sour, champagne shower, bite and devour, happy hour, is John Bugsy Lawler. Woo! Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evans Dubetsi. Our short order cook is Diego Varese. Our staff oceanographer is Maureen Habitat. The head of our Jamaican crew team is Monroe DeBoat. Our staff Jeep driver is Jocelyn DeContents. Our director of long-term warranties is Bianca Prehension. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the historic pothole preservationists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1334, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, reviews by owner.
Yeah, hundreds of makes and models reviewed by people who actually own the cars.
With many expletives deleted, of course.
Indeed.
Check out our owner reviews or submit a review of your own car all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Bajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.